Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Memhe. We're on the last line of Mem Dalad Amud Beis. It says the Gemara, "Va'ashoyse mayim litzmoy." The Mishnah taught us that one who drinks water to quench his thirst, he recites a bracha prior to drinking. It says the Gemara, "La'afuki mayim." The Mishnah tells us that only if it's litzmoy to quench his thirst, then he makes a bracha. What are we coming to exclude? Which case wouldn't require a bracha? Amar Vidibar Avin, it's coming to exclude the following scenario. La fuke leman, to a person, the chankase umtza. That umtza, a piece of food, chankase is choking him, is lodged in his throat, and he's using the water to dislodge the item. In this case, since he's using the water merely for his side benefit, he's deriving an indirect hana from it, no bracha is recited. Only if he's using the water to quench his thirst, which is a direct hana, a direct pleasure, he will recite a bracha. But in this case, he's merely using it as a tool to dislodge an item from his throat. In this case, it's not considered to be a significant enough hana and doesn't require a bracha. Now, Tosfos points out that this is strictly regarding mayim, water, since it's tasteless, but any other beverage that has a taste, or food, even if he's using it merely to dislodge an item, nevertheless, since he has ana, shelo oilam haguf nana mehen, since he has pleasure from the taste of the item, he will make a bracha. And this brings a raya proof from what we learned earlier in this parak. The Gemara teaches us, if one eats a food, even if his primary intent is to eat it as a refuah, for a remedy, nevertheless, the Gemara tells us a bracha is recited. Why? Since he has a pleasure not from it, from the taste. Boy, a bracha needs to make a bracha. So to hear in this case, even is merely drinking this beverage to dislodge an item, nevertheless, since he has not from the taste, he makes a bracha. It's only water. Since water is tasteless, and in this case, he's not drinking it for its beverage value, merely as a tool to dislodge an item, no bracha is recited. So again, regarding water, if one drinks it to quench his thirst, a bracha is recited. But if he's merely using it to dislodge an item, no bracha is recited. Regarding other liquids that have a tam, have a taste, or foods, even in this type of case, a bracha will be said. So which bracha is one to say on water, says the Gemara? We have a machlekes. Tanakama said, shakol nimidvarei. Rav Tarvin said, the bracha before water is bar nefashas shabbos chasroinan. So what's the halacha? Some say, yes, Rabbi Yosef. What is the conclusion regarding the bracha on water? Amar Lei, you want to know what the bracha is? Go outside and see. Go observe. My Amadavar, what the nation is doing. Go see what your fellow Jews are reciting on their water. And act accordingly, says Rashi. So what is the accepted custom of Kvar Nagu? Levarich b'tchila beforehand, shakoil. Afterwards, and indeed, that is our practice today. Says the Mishnah, if three individuals ate together as one, what does that mean, they ate together as one, explains Tosfos in the name of the Rif, either they began their meal together, or they concluded together. In any case, says the Mishnah, Chayavin mezamin, they're obligated to be mezamin. What does it mean to be mezamin? To invite each other and designate each other to a collective birchas hamazon, which is preceded with a call, with an invitation, with a bracha that is recited by one of the group, who calls out to the rest of the group, and he says, "Come join me. You're invited to come join, unite, to bind together." In our collective bracha, and he says, Nevarech, come, bench with me, Nevarech, let's bless Shachal Mishaloi. And they respond, they acknowledge, yes, Baruch Shachal Mishaloi. And he continues on and proceeds to recite the Berachas HaMazon on behalf of the entire group. So this is the collective bracha, the Berachas HaZimun, which begins with the Zimun that invites all them to join together in this collective bracha. Continues the Mishnah. What about if the meal was less than ideal and involved eating foods that are questionable or other situations perhaps that appear like an avera? Nevertheless, says the Mishnah, even these type of situations require zimun. Says the Mishnah, Ochot mai, if he ate the item of Demai, which was the produce brought from the Amoritz, from the unlearned fellow, which contains an uncertainty regarding Hafrashas Tumas or Maisris, and the Chacham, the Rabbanim, obligated one to be Mafrish. What if he ate it prior to be Mafrish? It is something which is Asam de Rabbanim, or Maaser Rishon, which is given to the Levi. They ate Maaser Rishon, which is Nitzal Tumasai, which the Truma was removed from it. The Gemara will explain all the details and backgrounds to all these situations. So all these are less than ideal situations, or Maaser Sheni, the Hegdash Nivdu, that they were redeemed. Maaser Sheni is meant to be eaten in Yerushalayim. If it's redeemed, it can be eaten outside Yerushalayim. Or Hegdash, an item belonging to Hegdash, which was redeemed. Vashama Shachal Kazayis, the waiter that joined them, partly he ate a kazayis, a sheer kazayis of bread. Vakuti, these are the group of people that came to be Megayer, that came to convert, and their conversion was very questionable. Nevertheless, in all these cases, they can join, they can be counted as part of the Shloisha, as part of the Quorum of Three. Mezamnen Olav, Zimun takes place with them. They are fit, they are eligible to join in Birchas HaZimun. However, if one ate something which is absolutely prohibited, the truma was not removed from the maserishin, that weren't redeemed. In these cases, since it was achilas isur, says Tosfos, lav shma achila, doesn't have the status of eating, of a meal, explains the Rosh. Although certainly these individuals are obligated to make a bracha achrona after they ate these prohibited foods, nevertheless, it doesn't have the status of kva. It's not considered to be an established meal, a joint meal experience with the other individuals. Since it's an achilas iser, it's a prohibited food, it's merely like an achilas arai. It's like a temporary meal. It doesn't combine, it doesn't get established and connect with the other ones. Therefore, no zimun, which is a collective bracha, can be applied. Continues the Mishnah. Another case, Vahashama Shachal Pachas B'Kazayis, the waiter that ate less than a Kazayis. Or finally, Vahanachri, a guy, a non-Jew, a Mazam Nalof. They can't be counted in as part of the Shloisha. Says the Mishnah, Noshim Avadim Ektanim, a Mazam Nalayim. Women, slaves, or minors, we can't count them in. Men cannot include them in their quorum, in their minion of Shloisha. They can't be Mazam on account of them. The reason is, Ktanim are exempt, and Nashim Avadim, either they're potter as well, or it's not appropriate for men to join with Nashim, or to join with slaves, which slaves generally are of low moral character, so it's not appropriate for them to join together in a Birchas HaZimun. Ad kama mezamnen, what is the minimum amount that one is required to eat, the minimum shear of bread to require him, to obligate him in Birchas HaZimun? And as Rashi says also, if he wants to be mighty them, to exempt them, to make the Birchas HaMazon on account of the other ones, how much does he need to eat? Ad kezayis, an olive size, an olive volume of bread, ridaim ad kebetza, the volume of bread, a shear of an egg. So really this machlekes is based on a general machlekes. What is the shear, what is the requirement to obligate one to make Birchas HaMazon? Either a kezayis, or according to Rabbi Yehuda Kebetza. So here in our Mishnah, it's merely a manifestation, it's an extension of that machlekes with regard to obligating one in Birchas HaZimun, and to be able to be mighty the other one's Birchas HaMazon, he needs to be a Bar Chiyuva, he needs to be an individual who is Chayiv in Birchas HaMazon. And therefore, we apply the same machlekes. The Tanna Kamma says, the shear is Kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda says, the shear to be Mechayiv one in Birchas HaMazon is Kebetza. The question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how do we understand the previous part of the Mishnah, which tells us that a shamash shachal kezayis, a waiter that merely ate a sheer kezayis of bread, he can be included in the collective Birchas HaZimun, according to Yehuda. He's not obligated. He didn't need kebetza. Say the mafarshim. Yes, indeed. He's not obligated. He's not mechuyev. Why then can he join? Can he take part with the other two individuals in their zimun to latch on to the other ones that he could do, even with a kezayis? Similar to what we find later in the Perek, according to Shita there, that even if one merely eats yorok, vegetables, he can join the other two in Birchas HaZimun. Although he's not really obligated, but he can join them, it's optional, he can join them and complete their quorum of three. Similarly, regarding Yashamash, they had a kezayis, even though he didn't need a proper shear according to view, that nevertheless he can take part in their Birchas HaZimun and join with them. So the conclusion is, to be mechayev birchas hazimun, one needs to be a shir, either a kazayis or kabeitza, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But for the other two individuals, to count them in as part of their group, even a shir kazayis, and even a shamish, that he's roaming around, perhaps he doesn't look like he's really part of the meal, he's coming and going, nevertheless, he can be part, he can be counted as one of the three for birchas hazimun. Menon Amili, says the Gemara, where do we find this concept of a collective bracha, a bracha that is recited in unison, that attains a higher status? Where do we find this concept? Amar v'asi d'makro, gadol Hashem iti, unuroyim v'shmayachta, he declares to them, come, gadol Hashem iti, declare Hashem's greatness with me, together with me, unuroyim v'shmayachta, exalt His name together. Let's do it in unison, as a collective praise of Hashem. Not only each individual on his own, let's combine, let's unite, let's do it as a collective bracha, a collected praise of Hashem, here too regarding Birchas HaZimun. It is a much greater bracha than merely an individual making a bracha, Birchas HaMazon on his own. It's three people joined together in a collective bracha to praise and thank Hashem. Ravo Amar Mihocha, this will be the source, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I call out the name of Hashem, Havu, you give praise to Hashem, you declare His greatness. So it's one person calling out the two, Havu, that's a plural term. You too, Goydel Akenu. So come join me in this collective praise of Hashem. Continues the Gemara. Omer Avchana Bar Abba, Minayin, how do we know? La'oyna Amen, one who acknowledges, one who answers Amen after a bracha, after hearing a bracha. Shalayakbiya Koyle Yosem Navarach, he's not meant to raise his voice higher than the one that actually made the bracha. Shenemar, Gadlo Hashem iti, extol the greatness of Hashem with me together. Don't overshadow me. Don't appear to be more prominent than me. Acknowledge it. Come with me. Unite with me. Let's extol the name of Hashem together. So when a person makes a bracha, and another person overhears the bracha, and responds, acknowledges with Amen, he's not meant to appear more prominent than the one that made the bracha. It's merely an acknowledgement. It's a response to the bracha. It's Gadol Hashem iti. Therefore, he must make sure that his voice is not on a higher tone than the Mevarach. A similar concept, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, Minayin. How do we know? Sheina Metargim, the interpreter, is not meant to Rashi Lagbiya Koyle, is not meant to raise his voice higher, Yosef Min HaKoyle, than the one that is actually reading the Torah. It was their practice that there was a Koyre in Shul and a Metargim, one who reads the Torah and one who translates the words for the congregation. So the Gemara teaches us that the Metargim is not meant to raise his voice higher than the Koyre. He's not meant to appear more prominent. He's not meant to overshadow the one that is actually reading the words of the Torah. Shenemar, as we say, Moshe Yadaber, as it says in the Pasuk, Moshe Yadaber, when Moshe Rabbeinu announced the words of the Torah that he received from Hashem, he announced it to Klal Yisrael, Hashem responded to him, Bekoil. Shein tamalim bekoil. The word bekoil seems superfluous. Umar tamalim bekoil. What does the pasuk mean? Velekim yanenu bekoil means as follows. Bekoiloi shel Moshe. On the same tone, the same voice level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Explains Tosfos. Although Moshe Rabbeinu needed to raise his voice very high in order to call out the words of Torah to Klal Yisrael, to announce the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he needs to strain himself and to raise his voice on the highest level. However, Hashem is Baruch, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, he didn't need to do so. He was merely speaking to Moshe. He could have spoken in a very low tone. Nevertheless, the pasuk teaches us that since Moshe Rabbeinu needed to elevate his tone of voice on a very high level, therefore Hashem also raised his voice to be equal to the same level as Moshe. That's why it says, Elokim Yanenu B'Koil, Hashem, who is considered to be like the Koyer B'Torah, he raises his voice to the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, who is considered to be like the Metargim interpreter. So we see from here that the Koyer and the Metargim are meant to have the same voice level. The Metargim's voice is not meant to exceed the voice level of the Koyer. Tanya Nami Yochi, we learned the Braisa, which teaches us the same halacha. Now we have two halachas in the Braisa. Number one, the halacha that we just mentioned, that the Metargim interpreter is not meant to appear more prominent than the Koyri, and therefore his voice shouldn't be raised higher than the Koyri. A second halacha as well, that the Koyri's voice shouldn't be on a higher level than the Metargim. We want the Tzibur, the congregation, to pay attention to the Metargim. And not the Kohen shouldn't appear more loud and clear than the Metargim. We want them to listen to the Metargim, to understand the interpretation and the meaning of the words. Therefore, the Kohen must ensure that his voice is not raised higher than the Metargim. They're both supposed to have the same level. The Metargim, not greater than the Kohen, so that it doesn't appear more prominent. And similarly, on the flip side, the Kohen, not greater than the Metargim, because we want people to pay attention to the Metargim. So both of these are contained in the following verse. Tani nam yochi, ein ha-metargim rashi lagbia kodesh min ha-kohen. Vim i-efshar le-metargim, this is regarding the second halach, that the metargim, the kohen, is not meant to have a louder voice than the metargim, says the Braisa, but that's not feasible. Vim i-efshar le-metargim lagbia kodesh min ha-kohen. But the metargim doesn't have the ability to equalize his voice to the same level of the kohen. In that case, says the Braisa, the kohen should take it easy, should lower his voice. So the Kohen, the one reading, should lower his voice so that the effect should be that both the Kohen and the Metargim have an equal voice level. Continues the Gemara, it's what we learned. Shnaim shachu kachas. What if two people are eating together as one? Is there a concept of Zimun? Pligi Rav Rav Yechon. Machloket in Rav Rav Yechon. Certainly, there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation. Mishnah taught us only when three people are eating together, there's a chiyuv zimun. But perhaps it's voluntary, it's optional. If they choose to be mezamen, can they do so? Instead of each one making a brichas hamazon individually, can they join together in a collective brichas hamazon where one will be mitzvah to the other? Says the one we have a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yechon. Chad Omar one says, im rotzu lezamen mezamen, if they choose to do so, they can do so. They can make a collective brichas hazimun by two people. The chadomer and the other one says no. Imratzu lezamen, ein mezamen. They can't do that. They can't forego their individuality. They can't combine into a collective zimun. Says the Gemara Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. Shloi sheshachol keechas chayav lezamen. When three people ate together as one, there's an obligation for zimun. Apparently, three is dafka shloi she'in. Only when three people eat together, but shnayim loy, two people can't make zimun. So this will be a kasha on the shita that allows zimun by two, says the Gemara. One second. Hasam chayva. The Mishnah is speaking about a chiyuv, a compulsory zimun. Certainly, an obligation only applies to three. Hacha reshus. Here we're speaking about optional. They're doing it voluntarily. So perhaps they can do it even by two. Toshma, let's learn. Shloisha shachol kachas. Come listen to this raya from the Braisa. Toshma shloisha shachol kachas. Three people ate together as one. Chayav in lezamen. They need to make a chiv zimun. They're obligated to join together in zimun. Ve'ein mashoin lecholek. They can't separate from each other. Because this would be mevatel. This will destroy the quorum and therefore they can't do it. Says the Gemara. Shloishin shnaim loy. Only if there are three people there, then they can't separate, they can't be mechalik, because this will take away the option of zimun. But shnayim loy, but if there are only two people eating together, then they could separate. Why? Apparently there's no chayva zimun, there's no concept of zimun by two. Meaning, the Gemara understands as follows. Why can't three people separate? Why can't one walk away and leave two there? And although they don't have three anymore, but nevertheless, according to you, that two people can make zimun together. Here too, the two people that are remaining here, they don't have a problem with zimun. Even though they're only two, they can also make zimun. If you hold that two people can make a collective bracha of zimun, so what's the problem with three people separating? Even if one walks away and leaves only two, they're still eligible to make brichas hazimun. Says the Gemara, Shani Yosem, there is different. Why? Because originally, when there were three people eating together, they've established an obligation of zimun. They were subject to zimun as a chiyuv, because they were three together. So now, when one will walk away, when they will separate, one will walk away and only leave two, although perhaps they can still do brichas hazimun with two, but since now it's only optional, it's voluntary, it's only reshus, since they already they were subject to a chayva, to do zimun as a chayva, as an obligatory practice, they can't downgrade it. They can't lower it down to a level of rishus. Therefore, that is not allowed. That's why the Braisa says, when three people live together, and they already kiveya their zimun b'chayva, they were obligated to mirror b'chayva zimun, one can't really walk away and just leave two, because now you're causing them to downgrade their zimun from a chayva, from an obligation, to merely a rishus, to something which is merely optional. And as Rashi says, God al ha-mitzvah v'aisa, the mitzvah that is done when one is mitzvah, one is obligated, that's a much greater mitzvah. It is a mitzvah of much higher value. Therefore, you're not allowed to downgrade it from a chiyuv to a rishus. So indeed, even two people, if they choose to make zimun, perhaps they can do it. But not if they were already established, if they were already subject to the chiyuv of zimun, which is applied to three. They can't downgrade it to the lower level of zimun of two. Tashma, come and listen to the following raya. Asham eshoyim asham eshal ashnayim. If a waiter was serving two people, he can partake in the meal, even though they didn't grant him permission. Why? Says Rashi. Because they're amendable. They're happy that he's joining them and making them eligible for Birchas HaZimun. But if he's serving three people, in that case, then he can't partake in the meal. Unless they grant him permission. So we see clearly that we require three people to be eligible for Birchas HaZimun. That's why the waiter can eat without permission, since they need him for the quorum, they need him for the number three, which is the number required for Birchas HaZimun. So apparently, two people on their own cannot recite Birchas HaZimun. Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam, there is different. Why? Because they're happy. They're willing that he should join them. They want to be Nikva Bechayva. They want to be established in the compulsory Birchas HaZimun. They want to recite Birchas HaZimun with a mitzvah, with a chiyuv, mitzvah v'aisa. Therefore, they're happy that he joins them. So although theoretically two people on their own perhaps can make a Birchas HaZimun, however, it is still rishus, it is only optional, only voluntary. And they're more than happy that he joins them, so that they are, on account of his joining them, they will have three, and now they will be mikful b'chayva, their zimun will be of a obligatory nature. Continues the Gemara, Toshma, come and listen. The following proof. Noshim mezamnes la'atzman, women can make a zimun on their own. Vavadim mezamnes la'atzman, slaves can get together and make a zimun on their own. Noshim vavadim ktanim, however, to combine these groups, we don't do. In rotz lezamen and mezamnes, if they want to join together in zimun, we don't do it. Rashi explains, the Gemara soon will explain that it's inappropriate for these to mingle. Says the Gemara, okay, let's analyze the braisa. Baisa teaches that women on their own have no problem making zimun. Says the Gemara, v'hanashim afilu meya, or the Gersa, v'hameya nashi, k'trei gavri damyan. 100 women are equal in halacha, like two men. Tosis explains that anytime we require a quorum, a minyan, a certain amount, a certain number of people, like for a minyan, when we recite the Varan Shavik Dusha, we need 10 people. Similarly, regarding Zimun, which requires three, we know that only Anoshim accounted for that. However, regarding Noshim, even 100 women have the same status as two men, meaning it's not as though there are 10 or three here. They're considered like two men, and therefore, in this case, we have a whole group of women here. We don't have three. Nevertheless, the Braisa tells us that women can recite Birchas HaZimun, even though we don't have three, which is the minimum requirement for Zimun. So apparently, even when we don't have three, Birchas HaZimun can be said. So this is a right to the Shita that says that even when we have two people, they can recite the collective Birchas HaZimun. Says the Gemara again, even when you have 100 women, they're not obligated. It's like two people. Nevertheless, Uktani, the Baisa tells us, Noshim Mezamnes La'atzman. Women can make a zimun on their own, and slaves can make a zimun on their own. So apparently, even if there's no chiyuv, even if there's no obligation, you can still make Birchas HaZimun. So too, when there are two men eating together, even if there's no obligation, because there are only two, Nevertheless, the concept of Birchas Hazimun, of the collective Birchas Hazimun, will apply there as well. Says the Gemara, that's not a riot. Shani Hassam, there is different. When you have a group of women, Dikadeis, there's a sufficient amount of deis, of opinions, of mindsets, explains Rashi. Three women are more chashav lahoidois, to praise Hashem. We're dealing with a variety of perspectives, of mindsets. And when they come together to thank Hashem in unison, that is considered to be a bracha, a collective praise of Hashem of higher value. Therefore, even though they're not men, they're women, and they're not obligated, nevertheless, since we have three women coming together, that is a collection of days, of mindsets, of opinions, and that is considered to be a bracha, a collective bracha of a higher value. However, if you only have two men, two people together, it's not sufficient, not a sufficient number. It's not a variety of people, and therefore they don't join together and create this new entity of a collective bracha and praise to Hashem. As we're again, Shani Yosam, there is different. When the women come together, it's different. Even though they're not obligated. However, since they're numerous, there's a variety. Dikadeis, therefore, they indeed are eligible. It is appropriate for them to recite this collective bracha, Birchas Hazimun. However, when you're dealing with only two men, the number two is not sufficient. It's not a sufficient amount of deis to be considered to be a variety and to join together in a collective, elevated blessing, bracha, and praise of Hashem. Says the Gemara, so let's take a look at the Sefer of the Braisa. Noshim va'avodim, imrotzu lezamen im azamen. Women are slaves, they want to join together to make zimun, they can't. I might like why, but yikadeis, we have many opinions, we have many perspectives, many mindsets. Why can't they join together? Maybe because of zimun. Says the Gemara, shani yahasam shim pritzusa. Over there, it's because of a different concern, because of Prisusa, we're concerned about inappropriate activity taking place between these groups of people. Says the Gemara, Tistayim, let's determine, the Rav, the Omar, Rotsul, Zamin, and Mizamin. We had a machlekes in Rav, Rav Yechanan, whether two people have the option of making a Birchas Hazimun together. Let's figure out who says what. Tistayim, let's determine, the Rav is the one that says the Omar Imrotzul Azamin Eim Azamin, that Zimun cannot be applied to two people. How do we know that? The Omar of Dimar Yisrael Rav. Shloish Shachol Ka'achas, the three people ate together as one. V'yotzeh Echem Nashuk, and one of them walks out to the market. Kurloi, when they finished eating, they can call out to him. Umazamin and all of them, they can make Zimun on his account. They can go and inform him, they can call out to him and inform him that they're ready to bench, they're ready to make Zimun, and he will turn to them and pay attention to them and listen to their Zimun and respond. That's okay. Says the Gemara, Tama de currently. Only because they're doing it in that manner, they're calling his attention, and he's there and he's responding. So he's joining with their Zimun. But holy currently shaloi. But otherwise, two people alone, the remaining two people cannot do Birchas Hazimun. So apparently, Rav, who is the author of this halacha, holds that Shnaim Eim Azamnan, says the Gemara, Shani Asam, there is different. The ikvulu b'chayve meikara. The same terrorist Gemara said earlier, since they began as three, they were subject to the chayiv azimun, to zimun as a compulsory thing, as an obligatory mitzvah, chayva. Therefore, they can't absolve themselves, they can't downgrade it. Therefore, they must call out and find the third fellow and have him join in their zimun. But theoretically speaking, two people alone can do Birchas Hazimun, according to Rav. Says, well, okay, we have no right from here regarding Rav Shita. Ella, let's move on to Rabbi Yechanan, to Stai and Rabbi Yechanan. Let's figure out, let's determine that Rabbi Yechanan is the one that says with the Omar, Imrotzu lezamen eim azamnen, that if two people choose to make Zimun, they can't do so, and they must make the Birchas Hamazon individually. The Omar, Rabbi Rachanan, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Rachanan told us the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Shnaim Shachlu Ka'achas. If two people eat together as one, echad mehem yoytz brichas chaveroi, one of them can be exempt by the bracha of his friend. Meaning, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven can make a bracha, brichas hamazon, and be moitzi and exempt Shimon. Va'aviv and Abba. And we asked, Maika Mashmalan, what is Rav Yechanan coming to inform us? Tanina, we learned this already elsewhere, that If Shimon listens to Reuven's bracha, he's yaitze. Shama v'lo yana yata. If one hears, listens to the bracha that is recited by his friend, even if he doesn't respond, he doesn't acknowledge, he doesn't say amen, nevertheless, he's yaitze. So what is Rabbi Yochanan coming to teach us? A halacha that we find elsewhere. V'amar abzeira, loymar, is coming to teach us as follows. What is Rabbi Yochanan coming to tell us when he says that two people that ate together, echod mehem yaitze bebirchas chaveroi, that one can be yaitze when he hears the bracha of his friend? He's coming to teach us a halacha, profound halacha. Leimar is coming to teach us the following halacha: she'ein birchas hazimun beineihem. That when two people eat together, it is one listening to his friend's bracha. It is not a joint bracha. It's not a united bracha. It's not a combined collective birchas hamazon. Why? Because there's no birchas hazimun by two people. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was very specific in his words, and he says, two people that ate together, yeah, one can be yoytze through the bracha of his friend. It's his friend's bracha that is applying to him as well. But if they want to join together as one in a collective brichas hazimun, that they cannot do, because two people don't have the concept of zimun. They can't say nevarech shachal nishaloi, and he'll respond baruch, and they can't do that, because two people don't have the concept of zimun. If they need to, one of them can make his own personal bracha and be mighty his friend. But it's not considered to be a joint bracha. It is an individual bracha, each one for himself. Tistayim. The Gemara concludes, yes, this indeed is a determination that we see that Rav Yochanan apparently holds that two people cannot make zimun. Continues the Gemara. Amale Rabba Barafuna Larafuna. Vaha Rabbana de Osin Marava. The Rabbanim that came from Arav Francis Shaw, Amri, they told over, Imratzel Zamen Mizamen. If two people choose to make Zimun, they can do so. My love, is it not? Don't we assume the Shemila of Yechanan? Now, where did they hear this halacha from? Apparently, they must have heard it from Rabbi Yechanan, who was Netz Yisrael. So we see that Rabbi Yechanan holds that two people can make Birchas HaZimun. So, Allah, no. Where did they hear it from? The Shemila of Rav. They actually heard it from Rav. Because Rav indeed holds that two people can make Birchas HaZimun. They heard it from Rav Mikhami Denachas LeBavel when he was still in Eretz Yisrael before he went down to Bavel. So it's Rav who is actually the author of this shita, of this opinion, that two people can make Birchas HaZimun. However, Rav Yochanan holds that two people are not meant to make Birchas HaZimun. They're not meant to join together. Rather, each one is meant to make his own individual bracha, and not to make a collective bracha and be mighty each other with the bracha. So in conclusion, regarding Birchas HaZimun, we have two sources for the concept of this collective bracha of three people together, either from Kishem Hashem Ekra or from Gadla Hashem Iti. Three people together is a choiva, is an obligation to do Zimun. What does it mean together, they ate as one? Either they began together or they concluded their meal together. Regarding two people eating together, we have a machlokes, according to Rav, they can, if they choose, they can make zimun. It is a rishus. According to Rav Yochanan, they cannot. They must make individual brachas. Three women together, a group of women together, we have a machlokes rishonim. Rashi maintains that their zimun is only rishus, is only optional. However, other rishonim maintain, the Rosh says, that according to the Gemara's answer, that Shani Hosam Dika Deus, that since there's a collection of various perspectives and opinions and mindsets, that therefore they're suitable to combine and join together as one and praise Hashem. So three women together, according to the Rosh, are Mezamen Chayva, they're obligated to make Birchas HaZimun. Regarding Halacha L'Mais, the Mishnah Berurah brings, our minute today is not to make Zimun. He gives a couple of reasons. Perhaps the Chachamim do not obligate them because sometimes women have a hard time benching, or for different reasons he brings that benching was done with wine. So he brings that our minig is that women will not make Birchas HaZimun on their own. However, they certainly are obligated Birchas HaZimun if they're eating a meal together with men. Certainly they answer, they respond, just as the men do to the Zimun. Regarding Avodim and Noshim Ektanim, the Gemara tells us, they're not meant to join together, to mingle together. We're concerned about inappropriate behavior. We're not Mezam Mishum Pritzusa. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, Amarav Dimir Rav Yosef, Amarav. Shloish Shachu Kachas. Three people ate together as one. V'yotzechon on the shuk, and one walked out to the market. Currently, they call him, they get his attention, and umezamnolov, they can make the zimun, and count him in. Amar vayvudu karli v'ani. It's only in a case provided that v'karulei, they call him v'ani, and he responds, meaning they say nevar shachalim shaloi, and he responds baruch shachalim shaloi. Amazr tshavloi amarnol b'shloisha. This is only regarding three people. Two people are left inside and the third one's outside. They unite, they combine. But if we're dealing with 10 people that are making a zimun together, in that case, the name of Hashem is added to the zimun. Nevarach to Hashem, shachalim shaloi. In that case, ad denaisi. They need to be together as one. You can't make zimun when one is outside in the street. He doesn't combine with them. He's not mitzarif with them for the sake of mentioning Hashem's name. Maskechah Ravashi, Adarav, just the opposite, Ifcha Mestavra. It is reasonable to say just the opposite. That regarding 10 people, we can leave one outside. Why? Tisha Nirin Kasara. Because the difference between 9 and 10 people is not so clearly discernible. Therefore, even if you have 9 here, it doesn't look so different than 10, and it's still okay, it's suitable to recite Hashem's name when we combine the fellow that's outside. However, regarding 3 people, when one's outside, shnayim enirin k'shloisha, there's a vast difference between 2 and 3 people. Therefore, it's reasonable to say just the opposite. When we have 3 people here and one walks out, that we can't combine, we can't be matzarifim. But if there's 10 people and one's outside, since 9 and 10 are very closely related, it is enough to make virchat hazim, even if 9 are inside and the 10th guy is being matzarif from the outside. Says the Gemara v'ilchas k'mazutra, and the final halacha is like k'mazutra, that this allowance is only regarding 3 people, but certainly regarding 10 people, a minyan, we require that they all are present here inside my time. Why? Because we need to mention Hashem's name. When we have less than people, lav orach ara, less than 10 people is not appropriate. So we have a machlekes between Mazutra and Ravashi in the case where one of them went outside to the shuk, and they would like to make zimun on account of him, to count him in. According to the Mazutra, when it's a zimun of shloisha, that's allowed. But when it's a zimun of 10, that's not allowed, because Shem Shemayim requires 10 to be present here. According to Rashi, just the opposite. When it's a zimun of 3, and one is outside, we can't do zimun. But regarding 10 people, a zimun of Asara, in that case, we allow it even in this case, because 9 and 10 are closely related. Tisha are near in Kasara. Says the Gemara, Amar Abai Naktina, we learned the following halacha. Shnaim Shachlu Ka'achas. If 2 people ate together as one, mitzvah lichalek, it is a mitzvah. It is preferred that they split up and make individual Birchas Hamazon rather than one reciting on behalf of the other. Tani Namiyachi, we learned the Bryce in support of this. Shnaim Shachlu Ka'achas. 2 people ate together in unison. Mitzvah lichalek, b'med v'amamurim, when is this said? Because Shneim Seifrim, when they're both scholars, they're learned people, they can make Birchas Hamazon on their own. But aval echad Seifer, one is a scholar of echad Bur, and the other one is an unlearned fellow. In this case, certainly, Seifer mevorech, the learned one should make the bracha, u'bur yaitze, and the unlearned fellow should be yaitze with the Seifer's bracha. Explains Tosfos, why do we obligate them to make individual brachas? Says Tosfos, because Birchas Hamazon is deiraisa. Therefore, it's unlike other brachas that are merely midrabanan. Therefore, here we require each person to make his individual bracha. Number 2, says Tosfos, since they're already at the end of their meal and they're prepared to go on their separate ways, therefore the tziruf is no longer, the bond is no longer intact. And therefore, we prefer that they make individual brachas rather than they join together in one collective bracha. Now this puts the previous discussion in perspective. We had a machlekes regarding 2 people. If they choose to make Birchas Hazimun, according to Rav, they may do so. According to Rav Yochanan, they can't. They must make individual bracha, Birchas Hamazon. So it appears that according to Rav, although they're going to forego this individuality factor, nevertheless, since by joining together, this creates a collective Birchas Hamazon, it has an added element, and it compensates for the individuality. So according to Rav, they may do so. According to Rav Yochanan, however, no, You may not forego your individuality for the sake of joining together of two people creating this joint collective Brichas HaMazon. Two people joined together, that has no significance. Three people, yes, that's considered to be an elevated manner of Brichas HaMazon. That's considered to be a collective bracha that has great significance. It's learned from the Pesukim. And that certainly comes in place of individuality. That certainly is greater than each one making his bracha on his own. But merely two people joining, that has no added element, and therefore, one cannot do so. If it's at the expense of individuality, each one needs to make his own Brichas HaMazon. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ha Milsa, the following thing, Amrisana, I said on my own, Vritamra, it was said over, Mishmei Derav Zera, Kavasi, it was said over the name of Zera, and it concurred with my opinion, Shloisha Shachal Kachas, three people eating together as one, Echad Mavsek L'Shnayim, one of them needs to interrupt his meal and join the Zimun when the other ones are ready. However, but two don't need to stop for one. Says Umar, no, Valoy. For Rav Papa, Afsik Leila Abba Mari Brei. Rav Papa interrupted his meal for his son, Abba Mari. Iyu v'chad, when it was him and somebody else. So we see two people interrupted for one. Says Umar, Shani Rav Papa, the Lefnim Mishir Sadin Avad. He did beyond the letter of the law. He wasn't required. He did Lefnim Mishir Sadin, as Rashi says. He did it to show chashivas, lachshuvi, to give honor, to show chashivas for his son. Continues the Gemara with another story. Yehuda bar Marema together with Mamre Ravashi, together with Rachman Ridifti, Karchi Rift Vada Adadi. They ate a meal together and they came to Brichas HaMazon. Lo Yehava Buchad. There was nobody there, Dava Muflik Mechavrei, who was more distinguished than the others. Livruchlihu, to initiate the Brichas HaZimun. Amri, they said, Hodis Nan, this is what we say in the Mishnah, Shloisha Shal Glachas, three that ate together, Chayav Lezamein, obligated to make Zimun. Hani, Mili, this is only when when there's a great man, there's somebody of higher stature that will initiate the Birchas HaZimun, will invite the others to join in this collective bracha. But if we're all of equal stature, in that case, Birchas HaZimun is not done, but rather Chiluk bracha is adif. It is better to split and make individual brachas rather than join together in Birchas HaZimun. We know that Birchas HaZimun is meant to be given offered to the Adam Gadol in the group. And as the Mefarshim point out, where do we know Brichas HaZimun from? From the Pesukim of Gadol Hashem Iti, who recited that? David HaMelech declared, come join me. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, that was declared by Moshe Rabbeinu. So a great person, he's meant to go and declare and invite the others to join him in this collective bracha. But for all of equal stature, it doesn't apply. So indeed, they proceeded, Baruch Inish L'Nafshe. They made their individual Brichas HaMazons. And then Asal Kameh the Mareima, they went to Mareima and they told him the story. Amar Lusi told him, you've made a mistake. You should have done Zimun. Yidei Bracha Yatzasim. Okay, you fulfilled Brichas HaMazon. But Yidei Zimun Lo Yatzasim. You've missed out on Zimun. V'chi Teimer. Okay, so you'll say, it's not too late. Niha Adon Azam. We'll go back and make Brichas HaZimun. Although we benched already. But Brichas HaZimun is that added Bracha, that collective Bracha that we can do even now. No, he told them, Ein Zimun l'mafreya. Zimun doesn't work retroactively. Once you've benched Birchas HaMazon, you can't do Zimun any longer. Continues Zimun with another halacha. Ba'u matzon. If a fellow arrives and he encounters a group engaged in Birchas HaZimun. Ba'u matzon k'sheim avarcha. Ma'u emachreim. What does he say after them? Rav Zidama, baruchim avarach. He's meant to say, Baruch HaMavarach, Taisa says, Baruch HaMavarach Shmai Tamid Lailam Vayet. That's how he responds. Rav Papa Amar, Ina Amen. He merely says Amen. V'loi Pligi, it's not a Machlekes. It depends when he arrives. Hod Ashkechinu Duka Amen Nevarach. The first case is speaking about when he encounters them, when they're holding at Nevarach, when the initiator of the Zimun declares, come Nevarach, join me in Zimun. So now he can respond, Baruch HaMavarach Lailam Vayet. However, the Ka'amri Baruch, but the other case is speaking about when he joins, when he encounters them, that when they're ready at the next step, they're ready responding, they're saying Baruch. They're responding to the Mezamen. At that point, all that's left for him to do is to say Amen. Explains the Gemara, if he encounters them while they're saying Nevarich, so he can respond to the Mezamen and say Amen Baruch and Baruch. However, a tad later, once they're ready responding to the Mezamen, at that point, he can only say Amen and acknowledge what they're saying, Ani Amen. Continues the Gemara, Tani Chadi, we learned one Braisa. Oina Amen Acha Kol B'Chayisa. If one adds the word Amen after Kol B'Chayisa, the Gemara soon will explain what that means. Harizam Shubach, it's praiseworthy. V'Tani Idach, Harizam Meguna. It's despicable. One is not meant to acknowledge his own bracha by adding Amen. It's more like Kasha, it's not difficult. It's not a contradiction. This is the resolution. It depends. Habe Bani Yerushalayim, Habe Shal Brachis. By Bani Yerushalayim, which is the end of the sequence of the brachis in Birchas Hamazon, that army d'oraisa. We know the first three brachis army d'oraisa. So at the end, which is Bani Yerushalayim, at that point, he's meant to say Amen. So that's the first brachis. One is meant to say Amen acha kol brachis when he completes the series of his brachis. The second brachis is speaking about ordinary brachis. One says Amen acha kol brachis on any of his brachis. That is not meant to be done. Says the Gemara, Abaye onerle b'koyla. Abaye would say this Amen after Bani Yerushalayim. He'd say it out loud because this is the end of the brachis d'oraisa. Ki hechi delishma poilim, so that the laborers will overhear, will see that they're holding at the end of brachis d'oraisa. V'likumen, they go back to work. Atoiv ametiv v'lav d'oraisa, because the fourth bracha atoiv ametiv is merely a d'rabbanon, and the workers are not meant to take off time from their labor to say atoiv ametiv. Therefore, Abaye announced it. So they know now it's time to go back to work. Rav Ashi, honor the Bilechisha. Rav Ashi said the Amen, but he said it quietly. He whispered it. Why? Ki Yechi. The Lord Nizalzal of Atev HaMetiv, so that the masses shouldn't be mazalas, shouldn't be little, shouldn't be lax in the Atev HaMetiv. Therefore, he didn't want to make that public distinction between the Brachas D'Arais and Brachas D'Rabban. He said it quietly. So in conclusion, we have a few halachas regarding Zimun. Echad Mafsik L'Shnayim, one individual is meant to interrupt his meal and join the Zimun when the other ones are ready. Then we learned about Shloisha Afilu Shavin, even if they're of equal stature, they make Zimun. We learned that in Zimun L'Mafreya, once you said Berachas HaMazon, it's too late for Zimun. We learned regarding the latecomer, person who arrives and sees the group engaged in Zimun, he's meant to say Baruch HaMavarach. If he comes later, they're ready responding, then he should say Amen. And finally we learned regarding Amen, he's meant to say it at the end of the sequence. And Berachas HaMazon, Rashi says, even at the end of the sequence of Berachas Krishma, Tosfos says that the minhag is not so, only after Bani Yerushalayim we say Amen. Abaye said it loud. Rav Ashi whispered it so that the crowd will maintain the proper regard and respect for the bracha of Ahatoy V'Ametiv.